right. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hours Editorial Review. Now, the Editorial Review is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Warden. The Law Hours Editorial Review is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5, 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Editorial Review and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events in the light of Bible prophecy, biblical law, and scriptural history, so stay tuned for tonight's special report right after this message. All right, tonight's message is that the Editorial Review will finish its last broadcast on May the 28th, and beginning on May 30th, which will be next Sunday, the Law Hour is going to be pre-recorded on compact disc. We're making this change so that we can increase our sound quality, both on the archives and on our direct broadcast on AM and FM stations. The broadcast quality for our AM, FM affiliate stations around the world is too poor because of the telephone connection here at the farm in Isabella, Missouri. So to solve that problem, here in our studios, we've put in a TDK CD recorder hooked up to a computer, and as time progresses along, we'll get the fine points ironed out. But I've been doing the Editorial Review and the Law Hour. 14 hours a week is the broadcast time. So I'm going to drop the Editorial Review. You might send me an email or two and tell me what you thought of the Editorial Review, to see whether or not we should incorporate that into some of our Law Hour programming. Now, the Law Hour is going to be moved up from 6 days a week to 7 days a week, 1 hour a day live. We'll have 365 broadcasts per year. Each broadcast will be a new and different topic. The rebroadcast that we were doing on Saturday will now be a live broadcast, or a new topic rather than a rebroadcast. So there's the story on the Law Hour and the Editorial Review. Now, for the balance of this week, we've got some news stories with editorial comment. Let's take a look at KITCO. It's time to cross over by Jim. I guess his name is Pop Lava, dealing with inflation. Now, you know, the government, the Bush administration, elected a 25% money increase program last year, 2003. They are increasing the money supply at 30% this year. They upped it 5 percentage points. Now, I want to point out that in 1987, the total M1, M2, and M3 money supply was $3.5 trillion. It increased to $9 trillion now, and we're moving up to $13 trillion by the end of 2005. So we get a 25% inflation rate for 2003, 30% for 2004, and I don't know what the percentage rate is going to be for the year 2005, but they've got that programmed in. So it's going to move from $3.5 trillion to $13 trillion in, about 15, 16 years. Now that's going to have a very dramatic impact on inflation, a very dramatic impact on prices. So in the last month, over 70% of all purchasing managers in the United States are reporting price increases for everything they buy. And they mean everything from aluminum, coal, corrugated containers, oil, and natural gas to fabricated steel. Natural gas prices, as shown in the chart below, have risen for over 20 consecutive months. May could become the 21st consecutive month of price increases in natural gas. In addition to natural gas prices, the price of oil has hit a two-decade high, with prices over $40 a barrel. The cost of fuel has risen so much that companies are now adding surcharges on a regular basis. Continental Airlines is increasing its fuel surcharge on cargo for the second time this year, and prices on freight have jumped from 15 to 20 cents per kilogram internationally, or roughly 2 cents a pound. Both American Airlines and Northwest Airlines have matched Continental's price increases. International carriers from Singapore Airlines, British Airways, and Qantas are now adding ticket surcharges to already rising ticket prices. In Jefferson, Virginia, the 105-year-old Schweiger Furniture Company will finally close its doors. In the early 1970s, the furniture maker employed more than 1,000 workers. Today, it has 130 workers who will all get their pink slips this month. Rising energy, raw material, health care, and labor costs make it difficult to compete with low-priced imports from China. Schweiger isn't the only furniture company to go out of business. According to recent U.S. Labor Bureau statistics, more than 15% of the nation's upholstered furniture manufacturing jobs have been lost over the last 4 years. Rising raw material costs are causing companies to cut costs, which usually means reducing payroll. If companies cannot raise prices to fully cover raw materials and labor costs, they opt for reducing their workforce or to move the workforce production overseas. Rising raw material costs and inflationary pressures are making their way to Main Street, with everyone from the shoeshine boy to the grocery store bagger keenly aware of inflation. In Seattle, Domino's pizza driver Zuvel's TSVI, however you pronounce that, complains that the cost of gasoline will end up costing him more than the $850 that he paid for the Subaru that he bought to make his deliveries with. Zavell complains that his gas costs keep rising, but tips from customers don't, and the difference between flat tips and rising gas costs are cutting into his take-home pay. Rising energy costs are working their way through the whole economy, from trucking, shipping, and airfares to cab drivers. Dennis Roberts, a yellow cab driver in Seattle, Washington, has had to pay $75 more on his weekly fuel bill. The price increase came in just 1 month. And while the city of Seattle has authorized a 60-cent surcharge for fuel for drivers like Roberts, the surcharge falls short in covering rising fuel costs. So like Zavell, the difference comes out of his take-home pay. On Main Street, everyone is keenly aware of inflation. You see it every day when you open your monthly billing statements or shop at the grocery store. On Wednesday this week, the U.S. Labor Department reported a sharp rise in wholesale prices last month. They jumped by 0.7% in April. Wholesale price inflation is now running at an annual rate of 8%, the core rate, which includes essential costs such as food and energy, rose 2%, which was 1.5% higher than April of last year. Now, the wholesale inflation numbers were much higher than forecast by economists, but the numbers were dismissed because of their food and energy component. The core rate of 2% was considered acceptable, so economists weren't worried that inflation was getting out of control just yet. Now, I'm not sure that Zivil and Roberts would agree. To them, the jump of 7% is a real cost of doing business. When the core rate rises, it reduces their income. I might point out that milk is due to hit $4 a gallon this summer. Gasoline is now over $2 a gallon. And remember that these price spikes are a direct result of the monetary policies now that we've embarked upon, the Bush administration has embarked upon, to bring us out of the current recession. Remember, when recessions occur, deficit spending is the rule of thumb. Now, when we started this fairy tale project back in 1914, that is, divorcing ourselves from gold and silver coin and adopting fiat paper money. At the time, of course, it wasn't fiat paper, it was fully redeemable. But it was predictable that over time, ultimately, like all nations that have gone before us, that we would take our paper money and turn it into a fiat paper currency, which is what we have now done. Now, again, if you're waiting for the economy, the president, the Republicans, and the Democrats to bail you out, I think you're going to be bitterly disappointed. Again, it's going to be up to you to solve the inflation problem for you and your family, of and by yourself. Now, I'm concerned about inflation, and it's certainly going to impact on me. I don't deny that. But I'm not nearly as concerned about inflation as most people are, because I'm not tied to the national economy. and I've been making provisions for 30 years to solve this inflationary debacle. I thought it was coming in 1979, 80, and 81. Remember when we hit 13% inflation and interest rates hit 21%? That's when I thought that this thing, this house of cards, was coming apart. But hey, they patched it up, and God bless them for it. I've enjoyed life ever since. And then I thought, well, this is probably it, 1989, 90, 91, you know, when the last recession struck, and by golly, the Bush team pulled the fat out of the fire. Clinton took all the credit and ran this thing up to the year 2000. Then the economy tanked, and here we are. Is this the last hurrah? I don't know. If they can pull the fat out of the fire one more time, two more times, you know, if they pull it out of the fire one more time, I may die of old age before the next round occurs. But if I do, then you'll have to face reality of and by yourself at some time in the future. Just like our grandparents had faced reality in 1929 to 1939. I suspect that either you and I or our children are going to have to face reality in the near future. And that's what Kitco is pointing out, that all of the numbers are pointing to runaway inflation. So get ready for it. Now, people that aren't prepared for it are going to be hurt. People that are prepared for it are going to be damaged. Some people who are prepared for it are going to profit from this coming inflation, just like they did with the Great Depression of the 1930s. There's great profits to be made, no doubt about it. You know, after all, business is business. I hope to do my share of it. And I feel for those people who are getting burned by it. But you know, boys and girls, we bought in to this lie called paper money. We were told by God Himself not to deal in unjust weights and balances, and there's nothing just about a Federal Reserve note, a check, or a credit card. It screws, glues, and tattoos everybody that deals in it. Well, I guess everybody that deals in it on our side of it, the banks make plenty of money off of it. The government makes plenty of money off of it. All right, we've got to take a break here. Hang on, we'll be back with more of the bad news on inflation, what to expect over the next year or two when we return. All right, we're back. You're listening to the Law Hour's Editorial Review. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Editorial Review is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. All of these Editorial Review programs are archived for your listening convenience on the Internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. All right, let me remind you again, the Editorial Review will terminate this coming Friday. I'm putting in 14 hours a week of broadcast time, and I did that because Truth Radio needed somebody to fill in for 7 hours a week to take one of the spots. So I did that for about a year. And now what I want to do is to move the Law Hour into a broader market. And we're in the process of doing that. And we're going to make the CDs right here in the studio, send the CDs off to Truth Radio to be broadcast in a better quality format. And also to our archivist, that's in Ohio, and we're going to put these up on the Internet for broadcast. So AM and FM broadcasters can take the CDs directly off of the Internet in CD quality program format. The problem originates here with me. I live in a rural county in Missouri. We don't have, this is an analog telephone, which works, you know, fair to middle and well, but it doesn't have the kind of quality or broadcast quality that we need for AM and FM transmission. So starting May 30th, that's next Sunday, May 30th, the Editorial Review will not be on, but you will hear the Law Hour, business as usual, just like we always have. 1 hour a day, 7 days a week. And I have just completed 21 daily broadcasts. And tomorrow we will be shipping those off to Austin, Texas for reproduction, and they will be put on the Internet for AM and FM transmission in local markets around the world and for our archives, which which originate in Ohio. So that's the story on the editorial review. Now, you might give me some feedback on the editorial review program. If you liked it and it was of benefit to you, we might put the editorial review on a day or two during the week. In other words, use some of the top news stories of the week, like this one from Kitco on inflation, and do one or two programs a week on the Law Hour. So give me a little feedback on that, if you would, and let's take this up. We're talking about Kitco. This is a report on inflation put out 5/22. Now, let's see, the date today is what? Well, it came out yesterday, Saturday. And let's pick up a newspaper, or if you pick up a newspaper, go to a grocery store, fill your gas tank with gasoline, look at your property tax bill, visit your doctor, or try to purchase a new home. And you're faced with the grim reality of inflation. From cab fares to airfares, from department and grocery stores to filling stations or a night at the movies, rising costs are all around us. Now, last weekend, while doing my grocery shopping, the grocery bagger, a high school sophomore, complained to me of the high costs of movies. Now, he was making a little over $7 an hour, and the price of a movie ticket just jumped to $9.50. Popcorn, small drink, and candy cost him another $10. Now, if he takes his girlfriend, it becomes a $40 date. Now, that's a lot of money for someone who only makes $7 an hour. And he told me that unless it is a blockbuster movie, he now waits until the movie is released on DVD. If it's a blockbuster, such as this week's release of Troy, he'll go to a Saturday afternoon matinee, which costs $7.50, the price of a movie ticket 3 years ago. Now, the financial press seems surprised at the recent jump in inflation. Outside of the usual stories and complaints over rising gas costs, no one seems to have noticed that we have been living with inflation for more than a century now. This benign inflation rates of the 1980s and 1990s were only benign. If you looked at raw material costs, inflation was evident elsewhere. And if you looked at financial assets and real estate, in Southern California, the median cost of a middle-class home has risen from a little over $100,000 to today's middle $400,000. From an investor's point of view, or most homeowners, this is seen as a bull market, not what it actually is, which is raw, rampant inflation. One of the main reasons that so many middle-class families are struggling today is because of the high cost of taxes. Housing and education, life in the suburbs, it's expensive, and so are taxes for a two-income family. The Social Security tax base rises every single year, subjecting more of the average wage earner's salary to more taxes. Rising taxes are never factored into inflation costs. Most people just grin and bear it. Yet the cradle-to-the-grave security blanket, which most voters demand, costs money. Politicians promise more security without any cost. However, they must take money away from producers in order to give more to those who are consumers. And most citizens want to be able to consume more than they produce, so they keep voting into office the politicians who promise more goodies at the expense of the others. Now, what these politicians cannot raise through taxes, they raise through inflation. And it hasn't dawned on the non-producers that those wishing more benefits, that inflation taxes them even more. Inflation, in short, is a tax. Now, the poor and the middle class actually suffer more than the wealthy because they're at least able to cope with inflation. If your food and gas bill just went up 22%, you can't walk into your boss's office and demand a 22% pay raise. So the poor and middle class get squeezed and adjust their lifestyles lower or take on more debt in order to live. The high cost of food is driving more shoppers away from traditional grocery stores over to discounters such as Costco and Sam's Club. Shoppers are also opting for more store brands than name brands, which is not good news for brand franchises. Now, we're all paying for the last two decades. Now, I want to pause here because we were just talking about real estate taxes. In 1865, at the end of the Civil War, Virginia was packed with carpetbaggers. They had just been defeated in the war, the carpetbaggers, the Northerners, under the occupation forces of the Union Army, voted into office a new legislature, and they raised the property taxes by double. They did that so that they could force the southern landowners off the land, and they did. They didn't get them all, but they got a lot of them. And so in 1866, they doubled the tax again and drove off a bunch more. In 1867, they doubled the tax again and drove off the rest of them, except for a few survivors. In 1868, they lowered the tax back to what it was in 1865. They stole the southerners' land that way. Oh, it was all done legally and lawfully. I mean, nobody walked out there with a gun and stuck it to anybody's head and said, get out. But they might as well have. Now, you can expect the same thing here. You should be prepared for a doubling of your taxes for the year 2005. And then doubling the taxes again in 2006 and doubling the taxes again in 2007. In 2008, you can expect those taxes to go back to about the 2003, 4, 5 level. Now, can you withstand that kind of tax increase? If you can't, then get busy and prepare for it. If you can't, now's the time to sell. I was talking to a guy the other day that's got a house that's worth $400,000. He paid $100,000 for it several years ago. Now, that's a $300,000 profit. Sell it. Take the money, convert it to gold, bury it in a hole in the ground, buy a cheap house trailer, and go dig in for the economic winter to come. Then come out with your gold, with the inflated prices or the devalued prices. There will be a combination of both called stagflation. Wages will drop and prices of goods will go up. These houses selling for $400,000 today will be $30,000 at some time in the future. That's the time to buy. That's what happened the last Great Depression from 1929 to 39. People that cashed out in 27, 28, and 29 put their money in gold, came back into the marketplace in 35, 36, and 37, and were buying at 10 cents on the dollar. Now, that's the correct move. That's what's coming. That's what we should be preparing for. Going on, Kitco tells us we're paying for the last two decades. Inflation is altering the way the economy and the investment markets work. As rapid expanding bank reserves and the money supply rose under the Greenspan, Fed and dollar's exchange value fell, and it became more profitable to invest abroad and speculate than it did to invest in new plants and equipment. Businesses in the 80s expanded by borrowing money and buying the competition. Acquisitions were financed with debt, and companies were dismantled and stripped of assets to pay off acquisition costs. Real interest rates remained high because U.S. savings were inadequate to finance government, corporate, and consumer debt. Consumption continued to climb, but increasingly it went to overseas producers. This gave us our large trade deficits, which forced foreign producers to recycle those dollars back into U.S. investments, driving prices up. So in the 90s, this process continued with the securities market playing a bigger role in the issuance of credit. Now, we had Wall Street firms packaging debt into securitized assets, which were then sold to yield-starved investors, from pension funds to pensioners. And under a fiat system, the dollar standard, the U.S., was able to increase its consumption through international credit welfare. We bought more goods than we were able to produce through little effort. Fiat money gave us the ability to buy goods on credit from foreign producers in exchange for dollars. As long as foreigners are willing to extend credit and we're producing dollars to fill that credit basket, we're able to live a lifestyle that's far beyond our means. And that's what we've been doing. We've been doing it for 20 years. And as Americans, we buy their goods from overseas. They, in turn, buy up all of our assets. Essentially, we are now selling all of our seed corn in exchange for trinkets. You know, it's similar to what went on in Manhattan more than 400 years ago. Now, there's a transformation of our financial system, debt to deficit. Now, at first, as government deficits rose throughout the 1980s, Governments and central bankers tried to rein in inflation by raising interest rates to restrain bank borrowing. A modest attempt was made to reduce government deficits, and those deficits were increasingly financed through bonds sold to domestic and foreign investors. Using debt instead of monetized assets transferred inflation to the securities market. It transformed the global financial system away from traditional banking towards the capital market. This transformation of the financial system enabled consumers, corporations, and governments to live well beyond their means. The United States economy and financial markets now run on debt instead of savings and investment. Debt replaced savings and speculation replaced investment. The U.S. was able to get away with this only because it was willing to tolerate huge deficits in foreign trade. The increase in money and credit, which led to higher rates of consumption, never produced the higher rates of inflation that once plagued the economy and markets. This was due to the rise of our trade deficits. In a nutshell, our rising trade deficits replaced higher rates of domestic inflation. The large increase in worldwide manufacturing capacity, made possible through the export of dollars, gave us an abundance of foreign-made goods. And again, the catch to this whole process is the willingness of foreign producers to extend us credit and accept our paper dollar. All right, now let's mull this one over for a minute. Let's suppose that you're a Chinese, and you get an order in from American. It says, send me a container load of tennis shoes, and we'll pay you $1 million. You say, wow, I can produce these for $500,000. I can sell it to the Americans for $1 million. I'm going to make $500,000 profit. Well, sure, you're going to do that. It's a heck of a good deal. So you do it. Well, now you're sitting here with this paper, just like you're sitting here with your bank account. You're sitting here with paper assets. Take a look at your checking account, savings account if you've got one, your stocks and bonds. Now, what that says is that you've got $10,000 in the bank. And you know that you could go to the bank today, draw your $10,000, go down to Walmart, and convert the $10,000 into goods. But you don't need those goods yet. You don't need those goods today. So you're content to leave your money in the bank until such time in the future when you're going to use it. Now, with inflation running at 25% a year, the $10,000 that you have in the bank today, when those prices go up to $1,250, you're going to lose 25% of your purchasing power. It's going to be down to $7,500 worth of purchasing power. If every American took all of the money that he has in his possession right now and went down to Walmart so that he could get 100 cents on the dollar worth of goods in exchange for his paper money, everybody in America could get 2%. That's all that we've got, boys and girls, 2% sitting on the shelf. So if you're one of those with $10,000 in the bank, you need to move your $10,000 into something that will hold its value. It could be toilet paper. It could be food, clothing. It could be gold or silver. But it ought to be something more than paper, don't you think? Hang on, we'll be back with more when we return. All right, we're back for the closer. You're listening to the Editorial Review. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Editorial Review is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. Your support of Truth Radio and of our advertisers and sponsors is very important to us. So for more information about Truth Radio Network programming, please go to our website. That's truthradio.com, truthradio.com. And Truth Radio Network is a private volunteer organization. Remember, we're established as a private charitable trust for the purpose of exercising and defending free speech. Truth Radio is not a 501c3 tax-exempt institution, and donations are not tax-deductible. If they were tax-deductible, we wouldn't be free to tell the truth, boys and girls. So we rely upon the financial support that comes from you, our listening audience, to help us pay for that satellite time, internet, audio streaming, and our overhead costs. So thank you very much for the financial support. It comes through your donations to Truth Radio that you make to Post Office Box 344 in Pomo, California, 93444. Once more, that's Truth Radio, Post Office Box 344, Napomo, NIPOMO, California 93444. All right, here's tonight's wise old saying. The best cure for insomnia is to get more sleep. All right, just a program note. Starting May 30th, the editorial review will be discontinued. The Law Hour will continue on business as usual, and it's being produced on compact disc here in our studios at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. And I've just completed 21 programs, which will be going out tomorrow. They'll be going out to Austin, Texas, to Wes Perkins, who's going to post them on his internet. And then they will go to Larry Harris, and they will be archived. One program a day, just business as usual. And they'll be set up on a daily basis on our archives. So you can always listen to the Law Hour daily on the archives at georgegordon.org. So just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives, and you'll have a new program each and every day hosted by Larry. Then Wes will put the programs on the internet, and there will be top-of-the-line quality, which we cannot get now for rebroadcast on AM, FM radio stations around the world that want to broadcast our program, but they can't because the bad quality that comes over our analog telephone system. So that's my fault here at Isabella, Missouri. We don't have digital. We don't, you know, we're just a step ahead of cranking the phone off the wall. And we're a little bit ahead of that, but not too much. So what we're going to do here is put these on compact disc, and then it will go from here to Austin, Texas, and then Truth Radio will pick up the new, better quality CDs without the telephone line connection. So I suspect that our quality problem will be solved by putting this on compact disc. So there's the story. The editorial review will be discontinued starting May 30th, that is the 28th. Friday, May 28th will be the last broadcast of the editorial review. Now, I'd like to have some feedback from you listeners out there. If you like the editorial review, any of these programs, like one I'm reviewing tonight from Kitco, are pretty important programs. Those are time-sensitive, whereas Law Hour programs on such things as aspartame, MSG, brainwashing, etc., are educational programs and are not time-sensitive. So give me a little feedback on that, and we might put on some of these editorial review programs on special topics like this one tonight on inflation. Going on here, inflation then. Inflating our way out. The only problem to this whole scheme is that the huge debt burden that has been created through the 1980s and 90s that now weighs over our economy and the financial markets could create a deflationary debt crisis that must be inflated away. And its only antidote is coordinated inflation, or what's called is reflation by central banks of the world's large developed economies. This is what we're now seeing. So while Wall Street analysts point to the slowdown in the money supply, the proliferation of domestic credit channels outside of the traditional monetary system creates an even larger amount of credit. The traditional linkage between credit expansion and money supply has been severed. We've gone into total fiat currency. Credit now runs rampant. It's rabid throughout the securities markets globally, and especially here in the United States. There hasn't been a single year in which money supply has contracted over the past 50 years. The belief that inflation is moderate and has been reduced through the efforts of central bankers is a fateful illusion. Inflation has simply gone through a metamorphosis from traditional standards of measure. Inflation is now firmly embedded into the asset prices, institutions, businesses, and personal financial decisions of everyone that deals in unjust weights and balances, fiat, paper currency. And it shows up in the form of rental increases, labor contracts, leases, adjustable loans, and inflation-protected bonds. Now, we're sitting on a credit neutron bomb. This transformation of money and credit, and the lack of understanding of what constitutes inflation, an increase in the supply of money and credit in relation to the supply of goods and services. Put another way, we have not increased the amount of goods and services in the United States. We've decreased them. America's manufacturing capacity is running at 75%. We have 100% of our factories sitting out here. 75 out of 100 are running. 25 are sitting idle. That's why you people are unemployed. So instead of running America's manufacturing plants and paying our workers $10 an hour, we are running the Chinese manufacturing plants and paying those workers $2 a day. Now, that's what keeps prices down, but inflation is institutionalized. Take a look at your housing market. You've got $400,000 houses. Boys and girls, let me tell you where reality is located. After the Great Depression, during World War II, my grandmother bought a real neat old Victorian house on H Street in Eureka, California for $4,400. Today, that house is selling for $440,000. It's up 100 times. Boys and girls, that house was built in 1882. That house is not in better condition today than the day it was built in 1882. It is in worse condition today than it was in 1882. Isn't it? But it's 100 times more money. That's inflation. Institutionalized inflation. That house will be back to $4,400 when we have a revamping of the monetary system. But meanwhile, if you've got your assets tied up in commercial paper, unjust weights and balances, when it deflates, you will lose your purchasing power right along with it. So the trick is to sell high. Buy low, sell high. My granny bought low, $4,400, paid it off. Today it's worth $440,000. Now's the time to sell it. And then take those dollars, convert it to gold, sit back and wait until the price goes back down to $4,400. And then buy a bunch of those houses. Now, that's where you make profit. That's where the smart money goes. That's where the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Windsors and the Harrimans make their money. You ride the bubble to the top and sell. Truck drivers and Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife and plumbers, carpenters, and electricians ride the bubble to the top and then they ride it to the bottom. Then they sell. If they can be a little smarter than that. So what happened here, a transformation of money and credit, and the lack of understanding of what constitutes inflation. Here's inflation. It's an increase in the supply of money in relation to the supply of goods. And that has created a credit Frankenstein. The credit bubble has become so large that the only policy option now is a depression or hyperinflation. These two options are the only recourse to getting rid of too much debt. Hyperinflation makes the debt worthless, while a depression causes its liquidation. You know? So here we're back to brainwashing again, and we've got the red death pill and the green death pill. We were made to believe a lie that we could get rich on paper money. God told us plainly, no, you can't. Don't have unjust weights and balances. Now, for a few of you out there, you still may be able to salvage your assets. What you do is you deflate right now by selling whatever you got. Convert it to gold, sit on. Unfortunately, most of you have gigantic debt. You don't have any assets. All you've got is debt. Debt's your enemy, not your friend. Now, if you want to learn more about debt and debt consolidation, you know, you can forget about these debt counselors, debt consolidation, and debt elimination programs. Those are just hypes to make you feel good and steal the rest of your money, whatever you got left. Now, if you want to go back to reality, it's called just weights and balances, gold and silver coin. There's still gold out there. There's still reality. There's still common sense. But you're going to have to start practicing common sense and get with the program and do it now. See, I don't think this credit bubble is going to last till November. Now, President Bush has to keep this. Hey, he's got 16 balls in the air, and he's got to keep them all up there. Well, we keep our eyes on the balls. We can't be watching all the rest of the economy and the other problems that are going on around us. Iraq is a diversion that keeps our minds off of reality. The reality is right here at home, right here with 3 million jobs that have been exported overseas to India, Bangladesh, and the Philippines. And the bringing into this country of Philippine nurses to take over American jobs. Now, come on, guys. Surely we got to be smarter than this. Exporting American jobs to India is not good for our economy, and bringing in Philippine nurses to fill our hospitals does not benefit American workers. Now, that's what we're being told. And hyperinflation is the thing. You know, they're talking about we're going to maintain the strong dollar. You know, government officials lie to you a lot. They lied to you in 1941 at Pearl Harbor. They lied to you in 1929 with the Great Depression. They lied to you about the Lusitania, that it was not hauling munitions when it really was. The Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, George Bush, you know, and the war in Iraq, George Bush 1 and George Bush 2. I mean, that's where reality is. Government lies to you. We believe these lies, and of course, when it comes back and bites us in the butt. So it's time, I say, for us to wake up and grow up and start becoming adults. Government's not going to solve your problem. Government is your problem. The FDA is not going to solve your MSG problem. The FDA has caused your MSG problem. The FDA, the Department of Treasury, state, all these government agencies and departments are causing problems in violation of the law of God. And as long as we follow that, there will be penalties to pay. Now, that's just where reality is at. And the reason America is paying these penalties is for violations of laws. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. You can't come out here and deal in paper money without losing your shirt. Come on, guys. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll be back with the conclusion of the Kitco Report on the editorial review in about 8 minutes. So hang on. 3 minutes at the top of the hour, 5 minutes for the Palmquist tutorial, and we'll be back with the conclusion of inflation right after this break. Stand by.